Hello, and welcome to this edition of Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper. Articles have been taken from the Wallingford Herald for Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2026. Your readers today are Liz, Jill and Nuala. Producing is Martin and Roger is copying. Unfortunately, there is no musical introduction today, not because I pressed the wrong buttons, but because Spotify say we are in breach of copyright law. We hope to have some copyright-free music for you soon. Thank you.
Hello, this is Nuala. Team of students take part in mock trial. A team of pupils stepped into the courtroom for a taste of life in the legal world. Seven pupils from Aurea School in Didcot took part in this year's Magistrates Court mock trial competition. Held at Oxford Crown Court on March 14th, the event was part of a wider programme designed to give young people hands-on experience of the legal system. Nikki Nichols, Head of History and Ethics at Aurea School, which is part of the GLF School's Multi-Academy Trust, said the students were given the opportunity to conduct a trial within the Crown Court. This was an invaluable opportunity for students to develop their public speaking and research skills, to build their confidence, and to learn about how the justice system works in the UK. We are sure it will inspire some future lawyers. The team competed against eight other schools and took on roles including lawyers, witnesses, legal advisers, ushers, defendants, and magistrates. The competition, run by young citizens, is open to 12 to 14-year-olds from non-fee-paying schools. It was the second time Aurea School had entered the event. Year 8 student Nathaniel Cole was awarded the trophy for highly commended legal advisor. And there's a very nice photograph showing a lineup of seven young people standing, smiling, and holding what looks like certificates. And the caption underneath is, "It was the second time Aurea School had entered the event."
Hello, this is Jill. And this article is entitled, "Man Jailed for Strangling Mother During Argument." A 21-year-old man with multiple previous convictions has been jailed for strangling his mother after an argument. Callum Hunter of Goldsmiths Lane, Wallingford, was sentenced at Oxford Crown Court. The defendant was charged with multiple offences committed in Wallingford on February the 4th this year. Hunter pleaded guilty to breaching a restraining order, intentional strangulation, and driving a vehicle without insurance. The court heard that the victim in the case is the defendant's mother. The court was told that a pre-sentence report had not been prepared, however, wanted to be sentenced as soon as possible. Alexandra Bushell, prosecuting, told the court that Hunter had a restraining order to not contact his mother after being convicted of harassment in December last year. Therefore, Hunter had been living with his grandmother. However, his mother would sometimes visit. Miss Bushell told the court that on one occasion, Mrs. Hunter saw her son had been smoking drugs and there was an argument. The barrister said he grabbed her round her throat with both hands. He threw her into the living room. The court heard that Mrs. Hunter had to shield her mother and her sister from the defendant. Miss Bushell added, "He slammed the front door and kicked it in frustration. This caused fear and anxiety." Police were called and Hunter rode off on a motorbike. He was arrested the following day. The court heard that Hunter has four previous convictions for six offences, all relating to his mother. Miss Bushell said that this was in the domestic abuse setting. As a mother, she finds herself in a difficult situation. Nick Cotter, mitigating, told the court that Hunter had been in custody since he first appeared at the Magistrates Court in February. He added, "He's still 21, he's a young man. He is much calmer today than he was when I've dealt with him previously. He was very erratic in his behaviour." He has been assaulted at Bullingdon 3 times. There was an outstanding drug debt which has now been paid off by his mother. In my view, he is very immature. His mother still loves him and he still loves her. This period on remand has given him the opportunity to get his head straight. His mother fears for his welfare in the prison environment. Hunter was jailed for 18 months and was given a restraining order to not attend his grandmother's address. He was also given 6 penalty points.
Vivid light installation to celebrate Science Base. An immersive light installation invites visitors to step inside a maze of glowing tunnels and towering domes. The Luminarium experience, titled Tesseradix, will be open to the public at Harwell campus for 5 days only, from May the 29th to June the 2nd. It forms part of the campus light project and 80th birthday celebrations. Rebecca Duval, head of community at Harwell campus, said, "We're delighted to be bringing Luminarium to Harwell as part of our 80th birthday celebrations. Light has been central to the campus since its earliest days of scientific discovery, so this installation feels like a fitting and inspiring nod to both our heritage and our future. It's a truly unique experience that invites people of all ages to connect with light and colour in a completely immersive way, giving families the chance to explore, discover, and experience something completely different this May half term. The installation is a walk-through inflatable structure designed by Architects of Air. It uses natural daylight filtered through translucent fabric to create a constantly shifting sensory environment of colour and light. Visitors are encouraged to explore at their own pace, moving through a maze of illuminated chambers and tunnels. The experience is designed to encourage exploration, mindfulness, and a sense of wonder. Most visitors spend 20 to 30 minutes inside the Luminarium, with many choosing to stay longer to fully absorb its peaceful atmosphere. Located just off Curie Avenue, next to the DISH food market, the Luminarium is fully accessible. The campus will also offer food and drink options. Tickets are not yet available, but will be released soon via the Harwell campus website. The Luminarium is the latest in a series of events marking the 2nd year of celebrations for Harwell's 80th anniversary. Earlier events have included the Museum of the Moon, Body, capital letters B-O-D-Y, outdoor cinema screenings, talks, and collaborative projects. The campus has centered its anniversary celebrations around the theme of light, reflecting the vital role it has played in scientific discovery at Harwell. Facilities such as the Central Laser Facility, the Extreme Photonics Application Centre, and Diamond Light Sources Revolutionary X-ray Crystallography all rely on advanced light technology. The Rosalind Franklin Institute's work in breakthrough microscopy also forms part of this legacy. Light has been described as central to the campus mission and continues to inspire new research and innovation. The Luminarium offers a chance for the community to explore these themes through a sensory and interactive art experience. More information and ticket updates will be available soon on the Harwell campus website. And there's a very nice picture, red picture of what it must look like inside the Luminarium. Very pretty. And the title is, the Luminarium experience is titled Tesseradix. Man accused of threats. The trial of a Didcot man charged with threats to kill has been delayed. Kevin Walls of Halswater, Didcot, had been due to stand trial at Oxford Crown Court on Monday. The 45-year-old is charged with threats to kill a woman, threats with a knife in a private place, assault occasioning actual bodily harm, assault by beating, criminal damage, and stealing cash. The alleged offences took place on November the 4th and 5th last year against the same woman. Defence barrister Gareth James told the court he would not be able to represent Walls. The defendant told the court he would like new representation, so a hearing will take place next week in order for him to get a new barrister.
AI-powered coffee shop taking shape. The UK's first ever AI-powered cafe and drive-through is opening in a retail park in Didcot, and the building is taking shape. Premium speciality coffee brand Boca Felice will open a drive-through coffee shop entirely operated by AI at Haddon Hill Retail Park. Signs for the new outlet and the building, including a drive-through and space for outdoor seating, have gone up at the site. The retail park was acquired by Martin's Properties in 2020 and comprises three units: Halfords, Pets and Home, and B&M Retail. Described as a bespoke drive-through unit, it is the first UK site for Boca Felice Limited, which has agreed a long-term lease at the premises. The coffee brand has ambitious plans to open 100 AI-powered sites in the next 2 years. The concept was designed by Sodalic using conversational AI technology to add a human touch to the customer experience of ordering. Brooke Stottisbury, Head of Commercial Asset Management and Investment at site owner Martin's Properties, earlier said, "We are very excited to be bringing this new concept to Haddon Hill, the first of its kind in the UK. Our investment into the site will create a new, highly sought-after amenity for the area whilst increasing footfall and dwell time to the retail park, also benefiting the existing occupiers, and we look forward to completing the works to bring this to fruition."
This piece is entitled Green Spaces Saved for Future Generations. Plaques have been unveiled on protected green spaces to mark a long-fought victory for public access. Two areas in Dorchester, at Dyke Hills and Day's Lock Meadow, have been officially recognised as village greens after a decade-long campaign. The land had previously been fenced off by the former owner of Bishop's Court Farm, prompting public outcry and efforts to restore community access. Becky Waller, who led the campaign, said, "It was such a momentous day. I can still remember our first meeting when over 200 people crammed into the village hall. I had no idea how many families considered these spaces to be special." Residents formed the Friends of Dorchester on Thames and Little Whittenham Open Spaces with help from the Open Spaces Society. They gathered evidence of recreational use of both areas of land over a long period and applied to Oxfordshire County Council to register them as village greens. The process was made easier in 2021 when new landowner Keith Ives dedicated the land as village greens. The community later installed plaques on the site and held a walk on April the 10th to celebrate. And there's a lovely picture of four of the campaigners in front of one of the plaques, and behind them is the village green, glorious day, and they're all raising a glass of fizz to celebrate.
Removing flags, waste of money, says Reform Man. Removing Union flags and Cross of St George flags from lampposts is a waste of money, according to a Didcot Reform councillor. Last week, flags were removed from posts in Station Road near Didcot Parkway, but they have been replaced over the weekend by the group Raise the Colours, along with new flags in other locations, including Saxton Road in Abingdon, and in Shillingford, Benson and Brightwell cum Sotwell. Raise the Colours Oxfordshire has been placing England and UK flags all around the county in the name of patriotism. The movement has attracted criticism with allegations of intimidation and threatening behaviour from some members towards people and council staff. Last month, the County Council issued a formal legal notice to Raise the Colours Oxfordshire in a bid to prevent it from putting up more flags. If the group does not comply with the letter, the Council will consider all available options, including civil and criminal proceedings against the organisation and individuals affiliated with it, to prevent further unauthorised action. Didcot South County Councillor Hao Doe said the legal notice banning the group from putting up Union and Cross of St George flags was ludicrous. He added, "I fail to see how this is a public safety issue, as the council claims. These are not prohibited flags, and it's a waste of money for the council to take them down. They should be left in place. These are our national flags. They are not offensive. These flags should be a message of pride, and I think it is offensive to associate our national flags with an insinuation of racism and bigotry." Moki Khan, South Oxfordshire District Councillor for District South, Didcot South, said the issue of flags being put up on lampposts was a sensitive one. He added the flags in Station Road were removed and now they are back, and this time they go all the way from the station up to the Jubilee Way roundabout. Didcot is very diverse and we should welcome everyone. The County Council has already spent thousands of pounds removing flags, and since then the activity has increased. County Council leader Liz Leffman said earlier, "The widespread installation of flags by Raise the Colours is not a sign of patriotism. It is an act of intimidation and division." An Oxfordshire County Council spokesman said, "In March, we issued a formal legal notice to Raise the Colours, requiring them to stop placing flags on or near highways without consent. We are considering all available options to prevent further unauthorised action, which will include, but not limited to, civil and criminal proceedings." And there's a little photograph there showing Station Road, Didcot, with some St George flags.
Four men detained. A police helicopter was deployed as four men were detained during a night sting in Oxfordshire. The incident occurred in Watlington on Thursday of last week as Thames Valley Police received reports of illegal poaching. Four men were subsequently found and detained but have since been released without of court disposals. A spokesperson for Thames Valley Police said, "The Rural Crime Task Force attended reports of suspected illegal poaching in the Watlington area. With assistance from the police helicopter, four males were located and detained. The males admitted to being in the area looking for game without permission from the landowner."
Man allegedly assaulted for removing flag on lamppost. A man was allegedly assaulted while removing a flag from a lamppost in Wallingford, and one arrest has been made. The alleged attack took place on Wednesday of last week in Oxford Road, Wallingford, at about 11 a.m. Dashcam footage released to the press captured the moment a 45-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of assault in Benson hours later. The alleged victim of the assault, a man in his 50s, was reported to have no injuries. A spokesman for Thames Valley Police said, "At around 11 a.m. on Wednesday, we were called to an assault without injury incident in Oxford Road, Wallingford. A 45-year-old man from Wallingford has been arrested on suspicion of assault by beating. He has since been released on police bail. The victim, a man in his 50s, did not sustain injuries. If anyone witnessed this incident, they should report any information to us by calling 111 or making an online report." It comes amid rising tensions in the town over the flying of British and English flags. In February, we reported how locals in the town view the flags as symbols of hate, racism and intimidation and abuse of a national symbol. And there's a little photograph of some dashcam footage from the police arrest.
Staff taking flags get security help. Security has been employed by the council to watch for any confrontation and intimidation against its staff removing England flags around Oxfordshire. The guards have been called in by Oxfordshire County Council following incidents against its workers tasked with removing the flags. As reported at the end of March, Raise the Colours Oxfordshire was given formal notice by the authority to stop putting up flags on public furniture, including lampposts. If the group does not comply with the letter, the council will consider all available options to include, but not limited to, civil and criminal proceedings against the organisation and individuals affiliated with it to prevent further unauthorised action. Osney City and Council Councillor Susanna Pressel has been a previous victim of the group's intimidation when criticism she aimed at the group in a private meeting was leaked. She said, "I was incensed to hear that when Oxfordshire County Council takes down the illegal flags from its lampposts, they are often threatened with violence by so-called patriots from Raise the Colours, who sometimes follow them back to their depot and even to their homes. What is more, the council has to pay for security to protect their contractors because the police refuse to provide badly needed security. This can't be right."
Boxing Academy announces new sponsorship deal. A Boxing Academy has announced a major new sponsorship partnership. Didcot Boxing Academy is now backed by 001 Taxis in a deal described as a huge step forward, offering financial support and opening new opportunities for the club and its boxers. Kieran Davis, owner and head coach of the Academy, said, "This partnership is a huge step forward for us. Having a well-established and successful company like 001 Taxis backing the Academy gives us real stability and opens up opportunities we simply wouldn't have otherwise. The sponsorship will help Didcot Boxing Academy host more local boxing events and fund travel across the UK for competitions, costs that have previously limited participation for many. 001 Taxis have also offered to help cover membership fees for financially disadvantaged boxers, ensuring continued access to training regardless of personal circumstances. The partnership includes direct support for elite ABA boxer Jimmy Joyce, who will represent England in the Four Nations this June. Through the sponsorship, Jimmy has been able to get all new kit, including head guards, gloves, and a groin guard. The two-time national champion has also had 12 months of fees covered as he prepares to compete again. Aaron Singh from 001 Taxis said, "Supporting local people, businesses, and the wider community is a big part of what we stand for at 001 Taxis."
School welcomes 160 new pupils at special event. A school has welcomed its latest cohort of Year 6 pupils with an evening of music, conversation and student stories. Aureus School in Didcot hosted 160 pupils and their families at its annual post office evening, designed to support the transition to secondary education for students who will start in September. Head teacher Kirsty Rogers said, "This event is a way to bring together our new families early on. It gives us an opportunity to meet everyone who got a place at our school, and our students talk our rising Year 7s through their transition period. This helps our rising Year 7s feel safe and become familiar with their new surroundings. It is also an opportunity to see others who are joining the school and for families to talk to each other." Families were welcomed with refreshments, followed by a programme that included speeches from current Year 7 students and a performance by the school choir. Three students spoke about their first year at the school, describing initial nerves and how they settled in. Mrs. Rogers said the student speeches were incredible. Reuben, Mary and Vardan spoke honestly of the fears they had when they were in Year 6 and how those fears quickly went away as they made new friends and found their place in the school. The event was organised by Deputy Head Pastoral Vicky Knight and with the support of Head of Year 7 and Transition Callie Fisher and the student speakers.
Stalker posted 300 videos about woman. A stalker who posted hundreds of videos about a woman online, which caused her to fear for her safety, has been jailed. David Caron of Fane Drive, Beresfield, Wallingford, was sentenced at Oxford Crown Court on Tuesday, April 14th. The 32-year-old pleaded guilty to one count of stalking without fear, alarm or distress, one count of stalking with fear, alarm and distress, sharing an intimate photo and common assault of an emergency worker. Alexandra Bushell, prosecuting, told the court that the first count of stalking was against his former partner between December 2022 and March this year. The court heard they had previously been in a relationship for around 15 years, but there had been occasions of violence. At the time Caron was stalking the woman, they had been separated for around 5 years. Caron sent her abusive messages, including claims her daughter was his. In a TikTok message, he said, "You know you love me. I'm the only one for you." The second victim was a woman Caron knew from the local area. The court heard he became fixated with her after she bought him cigarettes from a co-op. Caron sent her multiple friend requests on Facebook, and the court heard he was seen loitering around the area where she lived. He made more than 300 TikTok videos about her, claiming they were in a relationship. Miss Bushell told the court the woman said, "I'm so scared about what he might do to me." A victim impact statement was read out on the victim's behalf. It said, "I have experienced the most frightening and traumatic experiences of my life. I'm terrified to return to Beresfield. I no longer feel safe in my own home. I keep thinking about what could have happened next. The fear has taken over my life. Every night I cry myself to sleep. I'm still in fear about what he has done to me. I will never be the same again. This has been a massive stop to my career. I am now very cautious around men as a result of David's behaviour." The court heard Caron has 11 previous convictions for 17 offences. The common assault charge was when he spat at a custody officer at Abingdon Police Station on March the 9th. In mitigation, Kelly Purcell Chandler told the court Caron had published a total of 347 videos. A barrister added, "He says he is sorry. He has been in decline since 2024. Miss Purcell Chandler then started to detail some of Caron's previous convictions, but he stopped her, saying he didn't want to be represented by her anymore. Judge Ian Pringle Casey said, "You have caused these two women deep distress in their lives. You must make sure you never encounter them again." Caron was jailed for 29 months and given a 10-year restraining order.
Bakery on a roll with award for Britain's best loaf. A popular South Oxfordshire bakery has taken home 3 accolades from a prestigious national competition, including an award for Britain's best loaf. Imma the Bakery in Stoke Row near Henley took home 3 more wins to add to its ever-increasing collection of awards for its stunning baked goods. It was crowned the ultimate champion at the Britain's Best Loaf 2026 competition, held at the NEC Birmingham on Tuesday, April the 14th, and hosted by the British Baker publication. As well as Britain's Best Loaf, Imma was announced winner in both the international category for its Cantabriac Ogi, or Basque baguette, and the innovation category for its Breadso, a miso and sesame loaf made with miso produced from the bakery's own surplus bread. The victory was described as a defining moment for founder Tona Erguin, who remains the reigning Baking Industry Awards Baker of the Year. coming just after the release of Immer's Radical Tradition Manifesto, which advocates for a return to long fermentations and the preservation of biological integrity in grain, the win for Cantabriac Ogie was physical proof of the successful new philosophy. And there's a picture of Tona holding up her three awards at the NEC.
Six tips across Oxfordshire to close, Council announces. Six rubbish tips across Oxfordshire are set to temporarily close next month, Oxfordshire County Council has announced. People planning to use the county's household waste recycling centres have been warned of a series of short closures in May and June. This is to enable essential work to be carried out, and Oxfordshire County Council will be shutting the centres for 2 days, although never at the same time. Deep cleaning and essential maintenance will take place, including jet washing sites and structures, repainting lines and safety areas, and other general work. The closing dates are Thursday, May the 7th, and Friday, May the 8th for Oakley Wood near Wallingford. For Olkerton near Banbury, the centre will be closed on Monday, May the 11th, and Tuesday, May the 12th. Ardley near Bicester will be shut on Thursday, May the 14th, and Friday, May the 15th, whilst Drayton near Abingdon will close on Thursday, May the 21st, and Friday, May the 22nd. Stanford in the Vale near Farringdon will shut on Monday, May the 18th, and Tuesday, May the 19th, and Dix Pit, Stanton, Harcourt on Tuesday, June 2nd, and Wednesday, June the 3rd. All closures are on quieter weekdays to minimise disruption, and sites will reopen at 8 a.m. the following day. The deep clean for Redbridge in Oxford will be carried out later in the year, and full details will be provided in due course. Redbridge is also due to close for around 3 months in the summer for essential safety work. Customers are reminded that they must book a slot online on Oxfordshire County Council's website before visiting their tip.
Right. Councils paid out £13 million in salaries for senior staff. Oxfordshire's six main councils paid more than £13 million in senior staff wages last year, the latest Town Hall Rich List has unveiled. Martin Reeves, Oxfordshire County Council's chief executive, was the top earner with a £286,198 salary and pension combined. Taxpayer Alliance data shows. This was followed by an undisclosed role also at the County Council, with the employee earning £237,500 last year. Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service's Chief Fire Officer, Rob McDougall, earned £221,592 through his salary and pension. Meanwhile, Oxford City Council's Chief Executive, Caroline Green, took £192,804 through her salary and pension. Charwell District's Chief Gordon Stewart accepted £180,804. South Oxfordshire and the Vale of Wight Horse's joint chief executive role earned £217,431. And West Oxfordshire's top role earned Giles Hughes £131,569. Combined chief executive roles for the six councils in Oxfordshire topped £1 million last year at £1,008,886. Oxfordshire County Council has 48 roles on the list of people earning over £100,000 through salary and pension, but the authority also provides more services over the districts. It is understood some of the roles included in the Taxpayer Alliance list, which come up as undisclosed, work in schools. A spokesman said, Oxfordshire County Council has made savings and reduced senior officer staffing levels in recent years. In future years, local government reorganisation will mean there will be a reduction to the current number of 6 councils serving Oxfordshire, with further resulting savings to be made as regards senior officer staffing levels. South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District's Chief Executive Mark Stone earned £217,431, but stood down in September 2025. Council Executive Director of People and Transformation, Stephen Chandler, and Section 151 Officer, Lorna Baxter, were paid £212,613 last year. In total, 98 roles under the 6 councils were paid more than £100,000 salary, including pension contributions, to total £13,489,632. South Oxfordshire and the Vale said, looking at the data source, this report appears to be duplicating a number of posts or possibly using 2 years of data. We would need to analyse the data of this report to comment in detail. It added that the two districts share an executive team to provide value for money for residents. Oxford City Council added, our pay levels are not out of step with other local authorities, and only 10 out of 59 local authority senior leaders earning more than £100,000 in Oxfordshire are employed by Oxford City Council. As part of local government reorganisation, local government will be reorganised in 2028, which will see a reduction in senior managers at all local authorities in Oxfordshire. Charwell Council declined to comment, and West Oxfordshire Council did not respond. And there is a little photograph of Caroline Green of Oxford City Council sitting at her desk.
County named best for recycling again. Oxfordshire has been crowned the best county of its kind in England for recycling for the 12th year in a row. According to the latest government figures published last month, 56.6% of household waste was recycled, reused or composted in 2024 to 2025, out of a total of 292,738 tonnes of waste. Of that, 165,694 tonnes were successfully diverted from landfill through recycling, reuse and composting. Vicky Beachy, manager of the Oxfordshire Resources and Waste Partnership, said, the sustained high performance collectively by Oxfordshire councils is notable, particularly against the backdrop of challenging financial times for everyone. To see our teams and Oxfordshire residents' hard work continuing to be reflected in these figures is testament to the commitment of everyone to deliver positive environmental outcomes. Our residents deserve congratulations and thanks for all their consistent hard work and commitment in achieving this landmark. However, we're not complacent, and one area we would like to improve is reducing food waste. In England's two-tier system, county councils are responsible for waste disposal, while city and district councils manage curbside collections. All of Oxfordshire's councils placed highly in the national rankings. South Oxfordshire District Council ranks second out of 197 waste collection authorities, recycling 61.3% of waste. Vale of Whitehorse came 8th with 58.9%, West Oxfordshire 16th with 57%, Cherwell 37th with 51.5%, and Oxford City Council 51st with 48.2%. Ms. Beachy said, we recognise that there is more to do to improve, reuse, repair, recycle, and composting figures. We can all take positive action through reducing food waste, keeping items in use for longer, and reducing the amount of waste we produce for the benefit of everyone. Ms. Beachley said, using tools such as Waste Wizard can really help put the items we have in the right place, whether that's for reuse, composting, or to throw away. Residents visiting any of Oxfordshire's 7 household waste recycling centres are reminded that a booking system is now in place. Bookings can be made up to 2 weeks in advance or as little as 30 minutes before your visit via the Oxfordshire County Council website. Residents without internet access can book slots over the telephone by contacting the Council's Customer Service Centre on 01865 51900 between 8:45 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Thursday and 8:45 to 4 p.m. on Fridays. Proof of address is required on arrival. This includes things such as a driving licence or recent utility or council tax bill. Visitors from outside of the county will be charged £15.
Businesses fined £350,000 for using illegal workers. Oxfordshire businesses have been fined nearly £350,000 for employing illegal workers, including at a car wash, corner shop, and takeaway. In Oxford, JJ's Car Wash, based at the Kassam Stadium in Grenoble Road, was caught with illegal immigrants working at its site. Immigration Enforcement, which published details on the car wash, said JJ's had been fined £90,000 for who it employed. Elegant Car Wash Limited is now liable to pay for the fine, but there is an active proposal to strike off the company on Company's House. Meanwhile, Gratia Cura Residential of Didcot was hit with a £40,000 fine following an immigration enforcement investigation. In its most recent Ofsted inspection, carried out in April 2025, Gratia Cura Residential was rated as being inadequate. Ofsted said staff did not read key plans for the placing authority that provide rich guidance on how to support the children. As a result, this led to the children being involved in serious incidents that placed them at significant risk of harm. Reformed Didcot councillor Howe Doe said the children have come first in this story. Ofsted found 2 of them at significant risk of harm, and the same provider has now been fined for employing someone without the right to work. That is basic compliance. If a business can't get it right, it's fair to ask what else it was getting wrong, and the Ofsted report suggests a great deal. Families in Didcot expect homes looking after vulnerable children to be run properly and expect problems to be picked up quickly. I will be following up with Oxfordshire County Council to ask what they are doing to ensure homes operating in our area are meeting the standards children deserve. Carterton Indian takeaway Bilash Tandoori was also visited by immigration enforcement recently and had received a whopping big fine of £280,000 for employing illegal workers. J&K Cuisine Limited, the registered company of Bilash, fell into liquidation after immigration enforcement paid a visit in the summer of last year. Details of this raid and how many illegal workers were found have not been published in the recent list by immigration enforcement. However, as a general rule, businesses that have been caught with an illegal worker on site receive a fine of up to £45,000 per illegal worker. And near Banbury, immigration enforcement officers visited Raj Convenience Store, also known as Sanders News, on Main Road, Middleton Cheney, after a tip-off was made. Public Home Office documents say during an interview with the illegal worker, she admitted she had worked at the shop for the last 3 to 4 years. She was paid £6 per hour for her work stacking shelves 4 days a week for 3 to 4 hours per day, the documents say. The business was fined £45,000, and there is a photograph of 3 immigration enforcement officers at work.
Woman to run 19th marathon. A Didcot runner is gearing up for her 19th consecutive London marathon. Nursing assistant Eileen Norton is set to run the marathon to raise awareness and funds for the charity Children with Cancer UK. Mrs. Norton works on the major trauma ward at the St John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford and part-time at Chiltern Garden Centre. Passionate about supporting children diagnosed with cancer, Miss Norton's efforts will contribute to the charity's mission of funding life-saving research. She began her charitable running journey in 2008 and has since completed in various marathons, raising more than £38,000 for several charities. And the article is accompanied by a colour photograph of Eileen Norton at the finishing post.
A local announcement. Eileen Ansell passed away on the 30th of March 2026, aged 88. Funeral service is to be held at St Leonard's Church, Wallingford, on Tuesday, the 5th of May at 11:30 a.m. Donations welcome to Alzheimer's Research and Sue Ryder.
Drinkers all hail the ale at Pubs Beer and Cider Fest. Aficionados of fine ales joined regulars at an award-winning pub for a beer festival. The Cross Keys in Wallingford attracted fun lovers to its annual beer and cider festival earlier this month, with the event hailed a huge success. The event included snacks, live music, and of course a vast range of beverages for attendees to sample, with accompanying tasting notes. In addition, Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street, Didcot's Gareth Clark Hair for Men, offered haircuts, beard trims, and hot towel shaves. A raffle was held with prizes including wine tasting vouchers, gym membership, therapy and acupuncture sessions, and boutique vouchers, with tickets supporting local station Wallingford Radio, which covered the event. Cycling Without Age Wallingford was also at the festival. This event came after the Cross Keys was named the branch winner of 2 awards by South Oxfordshire Camera, celebrated as both Pub of the Year and Cider Pub of the Year for the region. This month, the Campaign for Real Ale in Oxfordshire names its branch winners in each of the districts of awards, including Pub of the Year, ahead of the competition for the overall winner. For the second time, the Cross Keys was named in the coveted awards. Dave Howes, joint landlord with his wife Emma, said, "It's an amazing award. It's the second time that we've done it, and we managed to go through last year to win the title for the whole of Oxfordshire. So we'll see if we can do it again this year." And there's a series of photographs of people enjoying the Ale and Cider Fest.
And then under the announcements, we've got an item on this day. And it says that in 1969, yachtsman Robin Knox Johnson sailed into Falmouth to complete his 312th day non-stop round-the-world voyage. Last year on this date, Elon Musk said he will dedicate more time to Tesla after the company reported a big drop in first quarter profit. Birthdays: Jack Nicholson, actor, 89. John Waters, film director, 80. Carol Drinkwater, actress and author, 78. Peter Frampton, rock singer, 76. Janice Robinson, broadcaster, 76. Cheryl Lee, actress, 59. Dion Dublin, former footballer, 57. David Luiz, footballer, 39. In history, In 1500, navigator Pedro Alvarez Cabral discovered Brazil and claimed it on behalf of Portugal. In 1838, the British packet steamer Sirius became the first steamship to cross the Atlantic to New York from England. In 1870, Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, in brackets Lenin, Russian revolutionary leader, was born in Simbirsk. In 1884, a major earthquake measuring 5.2 on the Richter scale hit Colchester and parts of East Anglia. In 1943, the printing of British £1,000 notes was discontinued. And in 1989, archaeologists said they had unearthed a 2,000-year-old mummy in a gold-covered coffin in the Egyptian oasis Fayum. She was wrapped in linen and dried flowers and had a child beside her.
That concludes our recording for today. We hope you found it, the articles interesting. Have a nice week, and it's goodbye from us all.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Town Mayor's warning of antisocial behaviour. Wallingford is not the place for antisocial behaviour, officials have warned, after a spate of reports from the Town Council and the police. Vandalism, door-kicking, theft and fly-tipping have all been reported in the recent spate of antisocial behaviour and petty crime in Wallingford. In February this year alone, 121 crimes were reported to Thames Valley Police in Wallingford, Beaconsfield and Cholsey, with antisocial behaviour, theft and criminal damage and arson some of the most commonly reported. Mayor of Wallingford, Ros Lester, said, "I can only repeat what the police have said, and that is to check any door cams or while witnessing a crime, please phone 101. Please don't look the other way. Report these people and help the police to keep us safe. I was in Waitrose only the other day when a shout went up, 'Shoplifter.' Luckily, he skidded on his way out and dropped his swag. Let's work together to show that Wallingford is not the place for any antisocial behaviour and try to encourage good behaviour by praising good deeds that we witness." The Mayor said, "A youth council is in the process of being set up, and she's proud of organisations for young people such as Wallingford Air Cadets, to whom she presented awards on Friday." Ms. Lester added, "The evening with Wallingford cadets was delightful. They were so smart, polite and enthusiastic. Recent incidents include bins being deliberately set on fire in the Bullcroft Park, according to Wallingford Town Council. Two bins were set alight in the town's historic green space, left behind burned out plastic bin bags, rubbish, plastic fittings and ash in the bin fixtures attached to the ground. The Town Council said each bin cost more than £200 of taxpayer money to replace, and said that this was money that should be going into improving facilities for everyone, not repairing avoidable damage. Following this, Thames Valley Police released an appeal following a spate of antisocial behaviour in the usually peaceful town. The force said door kicking, including along Church Lane, and bin damage in Castle Gardens, the Bullcroft and Kinecroft parks, were examples of the apparent crime spree. The behaviour led Wallingford Town Council to issue a plea to locals. It said, "Wallingford is fortunate to have a very low crime rate, something we should all be proud of. However, we often see reports in social media about antisocial behaviour, petty crime, theft and fly tipping. If it's only shared online, the right organisations might never know what's happening. Please report incidents properly, even if they seem minor. The council asked people to report crime and antisocial behaviour to police online or by calling 101 and fly tipping or environmental issues to the council via Fix My Street."